Welcome to Leap Listens, the employer branding podcast. I'm Sarah, and I'm joined by my co-host, Roger.
Hello.
Leap Listens is brought to you by Leap Create, a dynamic people communications agency. Alex is the co-founder of the EB Space, a global community on Discord. He currently resides in Austin, Texas, and enjoys all things employer branding, recruitment marketing, and candidate experience. And when he's not working, he enjoys traveling, being with his family, music, movies, podcasts, and mentoring others. Welcome to the podcast, Alex.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. So, Alex, tell us about you and your career in employer branding. And I'm really interested also to hear about the EB space.
Yeah, definitely. So, Alex here, I'm based here in the States in Austin, Texas. I have had the wonderful opportunity to be in the EB world for about 7+ years. Worked at various companies, and as you mentioned, co-founder of the EB Space, which is a wonderful global community that is free on Discord.
Fantastic. And Alex, so we're here today to talk about advocacy. And if you would mind setting the stage for our listeners, who we know they'll be keen to deepen their understanding about this particular subject. So can you explain what it means in today's workforce and why it's become such a critical component for companies seeking to attract top talent?
Yeah, good question, Roger. So to me, employee advocacy means enabling and empowering your employees to share their experience and content as a ambassador on social channels, you know, whether it be like Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you name it. You know, it's become a must-have for companies just because people are starting to realize that people trust people, not brands. You know, that's the one constant. And also, they're not going to find the top talent by simply just posting and praying on job boards. Companies are getting smarter about that, and, you know, not as quickly as we like them to, but they are navigating away from that.
Oh, that's great. Post and pray. I like that.
Yeah.
Happens a lot, though, doesn't it?
It does. More often than we think.
So we hear like the potential benefits of employer brand advocacy, but can you share some examples or case studies of this and how it's contributed to the company's success?
Yeah. You know, we've had a lot of luck with doing that. You know, when I initially started here, we did it very much grassroots because I think there's, you know, a lot of companies go out and buy programs and it's not really like the programs are not built out in terms of their internal advocacy program. They'll work out. So what I mean by programs that they go out and buy, they'll go to vendors and you spend $20,000 on something, you assume it's going to work. But if the skeleton of that program is not really well built out, I think it's easy to fail. But what we did here is, you know, we worked with a vendor here in the States and just, you know, we built everything out where, okay, I partnered with our recruiters and then with hiring managers to say, okay, hey, listen, trust me on this. Seems like a crazy idea, but we're going to build this out. We'll start doing stuff in Slack initially. I'll, you know, just copy and paste. I'll create everything for you. Just share that and do these things. Then once we got that into an actual, you know, employee advocacy program to use, and we saw over a reach of a global reach about 5.5 million people. So, you know, 5.5, 6 there, just a earned media of over 20,000. And, you know, the result of that was just lower time to fill. We saw cases where, you know, instances where we would otherwise go to job boards where we would say, hey, let's test this out somewhere else first. You know, let's try the social route. Let's, you're advocates. Let's do this and see how that goes. And we saw a lot of cases, many, where people, you know, we didn't need to go to job boards. We had enough there. We were able to, you know, close off the rec and push folks through the hiring process. It led us to filling applications or recs much quicker. And then, you know, outside of what we've done here, the team at HelloFresh recently released something, and I really rate the team over there because they've been good. Noah, you know, Yas and Caroline over there who run the EB function, but they recently worked with Reelinks, and I believe what they posted, they've seen like 4 times increase in visitors to the HelloFresh Career Center and 2 times more views of selected content on paid channels versus anything else they've done before. So I think there's a lot of proof there in what I've shared that advocacy is the way to go.
Mm. Do you think that it is quite dependent on the type of organization? Because we've had conversations before where some people are quite risk averse because of the nature of the organization. It's in defense, mm-hmm. or it's in, where if you've got something like HelloFresh is quite a cool brand, isn't it? The consumer brand is pretty cool. You're expecting them to do things that are maybe a bit cheekier than a government organization, for instance. But how much do you think the organization itself depends on the type of advocacy that you could hope to expect?
Yeah, I think that does make a difference. I mean, it's a really good call out, Roger, because, you know, I work at GoDaddy. So, I mean, we're, you know, I like to think we're as cool as HelloFresh, and HelloFresh is definitely, you know, I can't beat the name there, right? They are a pretty cool brand. But I would imagine that there are going to be some struggles when you are, when you're working with, like, let's say, a government agency or a company, or let's say a hospital, medical, you know, facility or company, because there are certain things you can say externally that GoDaddy or HelloFresh can say, but maybe a hospital or a government organization cannot. So I think I'd be oblivious if I said, okay, it's going to guaranteed work 100%. That is not the case. I think other factors that you should definitely take into place, you know, take into consideration is it depends on, you know, if you get support from your leadership and also your test group, because this all sounds like it's amazing. Everyone loves when it works, but no one hears about it when things actually don't make it, you know, they don't make it past the cutting room floor to LinkedIn, where there's case studies, there's phenomenal figures we can share. There's a lot of times where, okay, it could backfire if your leadership doesn't support the program or the people who are part of the testing process. It's kind of dead in the water. So there's a lot of factors that go into play.
Yeah. So many of our listeners will be really eager to learn the practical side of things. So what would you say are the key steps to get off a advocacy program off the ground?
Let's see here. So I'm very big on taking care of what's in your house first. And by that, it's okay, before you go out and spend money, because you can easily go out there and spend thousands of dollars, build out what you want it to be. Determine, okay, hey, are we going to use this to lower our time to fill? Are we just trying to get people out there sharing content? Determine what that may be. Also, how you can incentivize your teammates, because, you know, while let's say the three of us in this call here feel, hey, we love the companies we work for, and we want to share the content, others are going to need a little, you know, a little polite shove or nudge to make that happen. And a, you know, gift card or some company points via a rewards program is always a nice way to do that. And then outside of that, testing this out first, you know, like it's always great to A-B test and kind of see what works and what doesn't work. And the best way to do that is using tools we already have available. So before you rush out and grab something, use a channel on Slack, on Teams. Or hey, if you don't have those options, because there may be people who still don't have them, use Outlook or Gmail, because you can build out a, you know, maybe one piece of content per week, you can build out five pieces of content per week, you know, differentiate what it's going to be that you're going to share. And then, you know, have people copy and paste that and let them know what to do. So it's a lot of handholding, but I think doing that will work. And then once you've had a good chance to, you know, I would say a solid quarter is good. You'll know if you're getting something in return from that. But along with everything I just mentioned, also proper tracking, you know, UTM tracking codes, you can do that with Google. It's free. Most people don't know that. Or if you use a ATS, you can use a source tracking link. That'll help you get some data where you can see that. Once that's in place and you really want to scale things out, get a program because you know, the your Slack, Teams, and Outlook are great, but they are going to be a little bit limited. Then get a program where you can easily share that out with integrations, or if they hop into a different app to share that, that works too. And then you can include recruiters, their team of recruiters, hiring managers, the respective teams, because what you want to do is it's a passion project that I find stays in recruitment or stays in marketing, but it has to go out there to include other ambassadors to truly be successful. If not, it's something that stays there, never really goes past the initial testing group. And you don't ever see the success of companies such as HelloFresh, or I believe Citrix has, which has tried that recently too. So a lot of work has to go into that, but more at the ground level first.
Thank you. I imagine that implementing these programs aren't without their hurdles. I'd love to say to you, I want to hear the juiciest horror stories. I'm not going to ask that. I'm just going to say, what are some of the common challenges and pitfalls that companies face when they're promoting brand advocacy through employees? And what advice would you give people to navigate these issues successfully, if you could just think of some of the really common ones that people come across and how you help companies to overcome them?
Yeah, that's a juicy question there. But one I'm happy to answer.
We do want to hear the horror stories.
Oh, yeah,
really.
Of course, yeah. Yeah. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that online.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, you know, really what you will experience, you know, if it doesn't, like, before it even becomes successful, right? And this could make or break your program, is there's always going to be a lack of understanding. Like, why are we doing this? Am I simply just, you know, a person who is being forced to share that? It cannot be forced. I know that, you know, if you want to get people involved in that, and it has to be, got to be very voluntary. Just like if people are naturally advocates out there sharing on their own, that should still be the case. You know, you want them to use your program, but having them get a true understanding of, like, what the program is, what it's about, why it benefits them. What I typically do is I tell my team is that at each respective company or, you know, customer I've worked with before, is that there's a two-for-one, you know, like, it's a two-for-one type of setup there, where, okay, yes, you're sharing messaging that I'm crafting and curating. However, I'm going to help you build your network, right? I'm going to help you build your personal brand. I think that's something invaluable that folks will spend hundreds of, you know, dollars or pounds to, you know, pay individuals who may consult to do that. But I'm going to give you this opportunity here while being one of the number one ambassadors for the company. And then when you're talking to hiring managers, it's helping them understand that, okay, we're gonna lower our expenses here on these job boards and these other partnerships, and you're gonna be able to utilize the number one resource that you have, which is your people, who can help you get the message out there and get that brand awareness. Also, after that, it's gonna be the, you know, once you've helped them out with understanding, it's okay, how do you get additional buy-in? And I guess, you know, what I just mentioned, there ties a little into the buy-in, but then it's okay, constantly working and selling, just like you would with any sort of employer branding program. It's working with people to say, hey, this is why we should keep doing this. You know, these are the benefits behind that. Providing the numbers, providing data and numbers goes a long way, because if people see numbers and they realize, oh, we're saving thousands of dollars here.
Yeah.
I think that will go a long way. And then the lack of usage. I mean, that is something that is honestly ongoing, because, you know, it's great when you see, okay, hey, we have 30 or 40 people using this program. But what happens next? The next quarter, the next 6 months, the next year? You have to keep the momentum up. Okay, do you increase what you're offering? Do you mix up the content? Because if it's all too recruitment marketing focused, and I'm not hiring for a role in that location or on that team, why am I sharing that? It's got to be built up. It has to evolve.
We talk obviously about the advocacy program, that you're sharing content for the users, like the hiring managers, to cut and paste. Where does user-generated content come into play with this advocacy program? How do you handle that?
That's key. I mean, we openly ask for that. And I think any program should ask for that, because it's going to be, you know, if you follow one, you know, a company's program long enough, and there's always that one person creating it, it's easy to see, you know, the style and the tone of voice may be coming from the person who is spearheading that initiative. But I openly encourage, you know, if teammates are, if they have a, you know, a blog that they've been featured in, a podcast, upcoming public speaking appearance, we want that, because that's more authentic. You know, and honestly, too, it makes my job a whole lot easier if they're openly giving me that content.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And you touched on it in your previous answer a little bit, but I wondered if there was one metric, one measure of success that you consider being the sort of the true ROI for advocacy efforts.
You're really trying to pin me down to one there. I think there are several, but
no,
you can have two or three.
Yeah,
Alex.
You can expand it.
Yeah. I think earned media value is huge. I don't see this enough in a lot of the programs that I've reviewed over the years, and because we get lost in, okay, X amount of users are using this, and there is impressions, clicks, that's cool. But if you want this to mean something, in my opinion, to senior leadership, how much are we, you know, what's the value out of this? And if you're spending, you know, $10,000 on this program, okay, are we just recouping that in the same year? Or are we essentially getting maybe $50,000 back in earned media value? That's huge. That's more than a cost of a hire in any, you know, in any country around the world. So if getting that back, it shows the value behind that, and people can, you know, really rally around that and say, we should be, you know, I want my team on this. I should be doing more of that. So it gets, you know, gets everyone all pumped up.
So just final question. Are you being really strategic with these programs? So say, for example, you're looking for a specific hard to hire role in an area of the States. Would you then focus all your advocacy efforts for the content around that area and that role to help with those applications? Or is it more on a sort of general basis?
You know, we're pretty global with what we do. So I don't think we ever get too honed in on one region, but we do try to make sure that we divvy out the content where there's enough love for each region. So if there's a, you know, bit of a hiring push here in the States or part of Europe and then APAC, we want to make sure there's a decent flow of content there that covers all those regions and those respective departments.
Great.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So we now come on to our bit where we ask you if you've got any top reads or listens at the moment, Alex.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm really digging Chris Murdoch out of the UK. He's got the Employer Bland podcast. Yeah, that one's good. And I'm not saying that just because I was recently on it, but
oh yes, yeah,
I like what he does. It's different. The other is James Ellis. He is definitely a pioneer in our space. He's got the Change Agent newsletter. He's got a wonderful mind. He's a friend and mm-hmm. he knows this stuff. He can break it down like any other. So a good follow on LinkedIn. Next, I would say Chris LeCand Harwood. He's got the Content Marketing Pod as well as the Employer Content Pod. And I love his approach because he takes content marketing and he really infuses that into what we do in the employer branding space. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of people get very recruiter marketing focused and spend. I'm a big fan of content marketing being the, you know, really at the core of what we do and then putting that at a paid level. So he does a good job of explaining that. Also, Eva Blukova, she does the Talent Attraction Theory newsletter. That's something new she's popped up recently, but it's a really good follow. So I would check out that newsletter on LinkedIn. You know, I would be remiss not to mention Hung Lee with Recruiting Brain Food. And I think anything he attaches his name to, right? He knows the stuff, right? He knows the stuff. A very, very genuine person. I've met him in real life a few times and have enjoyed all the, all great conversations we've had. And then two more, and then I'll be quiet here. But good friend Aaron Kraljev, he does a How We Interview podcast, still quite new, but it touches anything from EBTA, Canada Experience. He's really just, you know, getting that going here. So that's a good follow, good podcast to listen to. And then the wonderful Ben Phillips, former IBMer, he has a wealth of knowledge. He's been doing a good job of breaking down funnels, how I think works with employer branding, attaching that to recruitment marketing, and just how we should be having real conversations about some of the cliche things we say in the space. And he's not afraid to share that, which is very on brand for him. And I appreciate everything he does and the content he puts out there.
Fantastic. There's a few former guests you've mentioned there as well, which is good. So I know we're at time, but there is one final thing for me. I've been to Texas once. I didn't go to Austin, but I remember someone telling me all about what a cool place it was and how the tagline for Austin was keep Austin weird. Is that right? Is that still the case?
Oh, it's weird. Yeah. Yeah, you'll definitely, came down here and you go to a downtown city center, you will agree with that tagline.
So is there an EB space tagline? Keep EB space, fill in the blank.
Crazy. Let's go with that.
All right. Fantastic. Right. Brilliant. Well, look, thank you so much for your time, Alex.
Yeah, thank you both.
Thank you, Alex.
Thanks for listening. For more expert insights, check out our other bite-sized episodes, perfect for micro-learners and those with a short attention span, just like me. And if you're in employer branding and recruitment marketing, you might be interested in our monthly EB meetups. Just search EB Meetup on LinkedIn and join our community. For anything else, contact us via leapcreate.co.uk. See you next time.